Pakistan in the middle of Saudi-Iran and rival pipeline plans. Because of pressures and monetary grants from Saudi Arabia, the government of Pakistan seems to be caught on the horns of a dilemma regarding the peace pipeline project offered by neighboring Iran for supply of natural gas. Stay with us for an interesting article in this regard by Brazilian investigative journalist Pepe Escobar. The article has been written for Asia Times and is titled "Pakistan in the Middle of Saudi, Iran and Rival Pipeline Plans." The United States administration of President Donald Trump imposed another set of illegal sanctions on the Islamic Republic of Iran, despite opposition from Russia, China, the European Union trio of France, Germany, and United Kingdom, who still support the United Nations-endorsed Iran Nuclear Treaty, also known as the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani has called this an economic war waged by a bullying power. The United States has imposed sanctions on Iranian shipping, finance, energy exports, blacklisting more than 700 people and companies. The target, the EU special mechanism to facilitate purchases of Iranian oil, a sort of alternative international payment system, and threats persist about cutting Iran off the SWIFT system. There are also so-called waivers related to oil exports granted mostly to China, India, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and Turkey, plus to Italy and Greece. This means that in the real world, beyond all the bluster, there is no way to downgrade Iranian oil imports to zero without causing a global energy crisis. The key exemption might as well be Chabahar port in Iran, the cornerstone of India's own mini New Silk Road strategy for South Asia and Central Asia, which depends on exports to and across Afghanistan. In the words of John Bolton, the US National Security Advisor, they seek to achieve a massive change in what he called Iran's policy. But is that ever likely to happen? I got a different take on this when I visited a Pakistani courtyard. Let us hear. It's a balmy night in an Islamabad courtyard and, punctuated by salutary laughs, a geopolitical carousel develops among some of the sharpest minds in West Asia, Southwest Asia and South Asia. They are Junaid Ahmad from the School of Advanced Studies at the UMT in Lahore, Pakistan. Professor Mohammad Marandi of University of Tehran. Toghrul Keskin, a professor of sociology at Shanghai University in China, a Pakistani, an Iranian, a Turk, and this global nomad. Inevitably, our conversation swirls around the tasty possibilities of an Ankara-Tehran-Islamabad rapprochement. We have had the privilege of being part of one of the most extraordinary conferences in recent times. The geopolitics of knowledge and emerging world order, which could not possibly take place in a paranoid West, but only in Asia, at the relatively young National Defense University, or NDU, in frontline state, Pakistan. Not to mention the extra bonus of watching Pakistani generals talk about international relations across the global South from what is a center-left, genuinely progressive perspective. The merit for the conference goes to gentleman scholar Dr. Ijaz Akram, a professor of religion and world politics at the National Defense University, NDU, and a gifted, dedicated team member. Where else to discuss, in the same breath, the unity of Eastern civilizations in a new world order, as exposed by Professor Li Shiguang of Tsinghua University and a member of the Chinese Foreign Ministry Advisory Committee, to be rocked by Issa Blumi, Professor of Turkish Studies at Stockholm University, totally ripping apart Western silence on the genocidal war inflicted on Yemen by the Saudi-led coalition. But for some of us, the real star of the show was a putative, developing alliance that could turn into a crucial game-changer in Eurasia integration. Hopeful signs are on the cards. Presidents Erdogan and Rouhani have a very good relationship and are both deciders in the Astana process, trying to solve the Syrian tragedy. Whatever the pressure, Turkey won't cease to buy Iranian oil. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif was in Islamabad last week talking to Prime Minister Imran Khan. Turkey-Pakistan relations are extremely tight. On a Shanghai Cooperation Organization level, Pakistan is a full member, Iran will soon become a full member, and Ankara is very much interested. And so are powerhouses Russia and China to have them all together inside the club. Pakistan and China will start trading in yuan, as announced by Pakistani Information Minister Fawad Chaudhry, who has just extolled an expansion of the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, or CPEC, to agriculture and construction of industrial zones. At the China International Import Expo in Shanghai, China, Imran Khan defined the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, CPEC, as a vital link to the Middle East and Central Asia. The China-Pakistan Economic Corridor is the flagship project of the New Silk Road, or the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI. Iran is a crucial BRI node as well. Turkey, though, is far from being integrated, with Erdogan still studying the chessboard. Still, an irresistible geopolitical pull, heavily influenced by Washington's sanctions obsession, would drive Turkey-Iran-Pakistan closer to the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, and trading in their own currencies or in the Chinese currency, the yuan. Of course, daunting pitfalls abound. Pakistan's foreign policy is largely shaped by the Pakistani army, where a significant faction just can't get enough of gifts from the US industrial military complex. Imran Khan's position, on the record, is that Pakistan will defend Saudi Arabia against all enemies. The Pakistanis head the Saudi Islamic Military Alliance, and their two militaries are very close. But what if Imran Khan, after visiting China and Saudi Arabia, pulls out a stunner and heads to his neighbour Iran? Iran and Pakistan need a clear understanding about Wahhabi-indoctrinated fanatics using Pakistani territory, Pakistani Balochistan, to wreak havoc in Iranian Sistan Balochistan, as Imran Khan and Mohammad Javad Zarif discussed last week in Islamabad. On the energy front, a major soap opera that I've been tracking for years, the Iran-Pakistan peace pipeline, could finally be sorted out, much to the benefit of energy-starved Pakistan. The Iranian stretch was finished long ago, whilst the Pakistani sector has been derailed by relentless pressures from Washington. And that's exactly where the ultimate spoiler, the House of Saud, comes in. Pakistani Finance Minister Asad Omar claims Riyadh did not ask for anything in return for a crucial $6 billion aid package that includes selling $3 billion in crude oil on deferred payment. Islamabad badly needed it, as its foreign exchange reserves had dropped to a paltry $7.8 billion last week. Riyadh not asking for anything in return does not cut it. On the energy front, Riyadh is very much aware that last month Tehran and Moscow signed a preliminary agreement with Islamabad to build a 2,775-kilometer-long offshore natural gas pipeline from Iran to India via Pakistan. The Saudi counterpunch was not less than spectacular. Renewed investment to finally build the Turkmenistan stretch of another such link, the Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan-India pipeline. The Iran-Pakistan pipeline and the Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan-India pipeline have been in virtual competition since the days of Dick Cheney regime. Turkmenistan, the ultimate idiosyncratic regime, has had enormous trouble with both Iran and Russia for different reasons, exporting its natural gas wealth. Ashgabat's only secure market is China. Riyadh believes that by helping Turkmenistan on the Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan-India pipeline, Pakistan will not become too heavily dependent on the Iranian pipeline or the proposed offshore pipeline. Yet, there is no guarantee that the Turkmenistan-Afghanistan-Pakistan-India pipeline will ever be completed. The TAPI starts at the Galkinish gas field in Turkmenistan and goes right through Kandahar province in Afghanistan, which remains largely immune to Kabul's influence. There is no way a pipeline can be built there without Taliban acquiescence, and that would mean a negotiating process led by the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, which neither Russia nor Iran, for energy market reasons, are fond of. So the key in all of these interlocking intrigues is how Imran Khan will decide to position himself between Iran and Saudi Arabia for maximum leverage. Riyadh, for all its faults, still carries enormous weight on all matters Pakistani. Meanwhile, deep in the Persian Gulf, a fleet of large Iranian oil tankers, actually floating storage containers, as traders call them, have their geolocation devices turned off and stand ready to deliver oil on demand to any sanctioned, unsanctioned, or soon-to-be-sanctioned nation. And that's a reality no roaring barrage of tweets is able to change.